Thank you so much, Bhargavi Mataji, for warmly welcoming everybody, and thank you everyone for joining. So we are really fortunate that today class will be given by His Grace Baldev Prabhu. So just want to introduce to him. He came in touch with ISKCON Mumbai at the age of 16, and he took initiation from His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj in the year 1995 at the age of 18 years. And when he was at 23 years, with full blessings of his family, he joined the temple, which was in the year 1999. He's bachelor's in physics with certification advanced physics, nuclear energy and kinematics. He further holds various diplomas fields such as human resource and personal management, software management, business communication and tourism. He serves in the role of a motivational speaker, teacher, counselor and an administrator, and also conducts Bhakti Shastri and Bhakti Vaibhav courses in India and abroad. His main service is youth preaching, organizing Kartik Yatras, book distribution and temple management. Since last 10 years, he has been traveling abroad to many countries like South America, Central America, Europe, Africa, Middle East, and Southeast Asia. He has conducted inspirational and leadership seminars for students of prestigious engineering colleges, medical colleges, management institutes in India as well as abroad. Currently, he has been told to focus on various yatras, so he is helping in that, in different places of Africa, where he is regularly visiting countries like Nigeria, Malawi, Ghana, Uganda, Kenya, Togo, Tanzania, and South Africa. So today we are really fortunate to get his association in our conference call. I don't know whether he is still on the call or not. So Prabhuji, are you still there?
Yeah. Mataji, I think Prabhuji is having some difficulty joining. So let me check, Mataji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna Mataji, can someone connect him?
Yes, Mataji.
No, So devotees who have knowledge, they can connect. You just forward the number to the coordinators group. Yeah, Lalitangi Mataji, can you call him? I send the number on the coordinators group. Hare Krishna. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, anybody is connecting?
Yeah, Mataji, I'm
happy.
Sorry about the delay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, are you there?
Yes, Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you can start the class, Prabhuji, with Mangala Chai.
So, thank you so much, Hare Krishna. Mama Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणि प्रचारिणि निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणि वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे कृष्णा वेलकम ऑल द डिवोटीज ऑन कॉन्फ्रेंस कॉल फॉर दिस भागवतम टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम भागवतम फोर्थ कैंटो एट चैप्टर द वर्स नंबर इज फोर्टी थर्ड ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय द वर्स स्नात्वानुसवनं तस्मिन् कालिंद्या सलिले शिवे कृत्वोचितानि निवसन् आत्मनः कल्पितासनः ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय। नारद मुनि इंस्ट्रक्टेड माय डियर बॉय इन द वॉटर्स ऑफ द यमुना रिवर विच इज नोन एज कालिंदी यू शुड टेक 3 baths daily because the water is very auspicious, sacred and clear. After bathing, you should perform the necessary regulative principles for Ashtanga Yoga and then sit down on your asana, sitting place, in a calm and quiet position. Purport. It appears from this statement that Dhruva Maharaj had already been instructed how to practice the eightfold yoga system, which is known as Ashtanga Yoga. This system is explained in our Bhagavad Gita as it is in the chapter entitled Dhyana Yoga. It is understood that in Ashtanga Yoga, one practices settling the mind and then concentrating it on the form of Lord Vishnu, as will be described in the following verses. It is clearly stated here that Ashtanga Yoga is not a bodily gymnastic exercise, but a practice to concentrate the mind on the form of Vishnu. Before sitting on his asana, which is also described in Bhagavad Gita, one has to cleanse himself very nicely in clear or sacred water thrice daily. The water of the Yamuna is naturally very clear and pure, and thus if anyone bathes there 3 times, undoubtedly he will be very greatly purified externally. Narad Muni therefore instructed Dhruva Maharaj to go to the bank of the Yamuna and thus become externally purified. This is part of the gradual process of practicing mystic yoga. Hare Krishna. So, like take blessings of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who very mercifully formed the ISKCON Society, and he created this association of devotees all over the world, by which anywhere in the world we are, we can be connected, we can hear Bhagavatam, we can take association, and so on and so forth. We are reading this beautiful section of Dhruva Maharaj. The word Dhruva, the Sanskrit meaning of Dhruva is called as certainly. Certainly means that person is very convinced. This was the essential factor, the one single factor which attracted Narad Muni's attention to Dhruva Maharaj. Narad Muni is a Parivrajakacharya. He is moving all over the world, preaching Krishna consciousness. He saw this one very important element in Dhruva, that he was determined, he was very certain what he was doing. The only thing was, Dhruva had to be channeled properly. He was determined for a materialistic cause, but the very quality of determination was very good. It could be used spiritually. And Narad Muni found that quality very interesting, fanned the spark, and he arranged in this verse, he is telling Dhruva Maharaj, if you want to do some yoga practice, if you want to get something from Supreme Personality of Godhead, why not go to Vrindavan? Why not do on the banks of Yamuna? So today we will spend some time discussing on 2 important essential points. One is Guru's mercy and second is importance of a spiritual holy place. Let's discuss on the first point, that is Guru's mercy. We began our class today with Mangalacharan, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya, which means that everyone in this world is born in darkness. Darkness means ignorance also. So we are all born ignorant. We are very much attached to our bodies. But when Sri Guru comes into our life, at least you come to know that we are not this body, we are spirit soul. And we take his association, we follow his instruction, then that particular instruction becomes realized in our hearts. So Gurudev, spiritual master, his very, very important duty is that he sees a very small thing. Even a small good quality is there in a disciple. He fans that quality and makes it big. I was hearing a lecture recently of His Grace Gaur Gopal Prabhu, whom you may be aware of. He was mentioning about 2 beautiful deities in India. There is Jagannath Puri, where Lord Jagannath resides, and there is Sri Rangam, where Lord Ranganath resides. Sri Rangam is in South India, and Jagannath Puri is towards Mayapur, West Bengal. So, Lord Jagannath, if you have seen, many of you may have deities of Jagannath in your house. Jagannath has big eyes, right? Quite big, round. And Sri Rangam, if you go, Lord is sleeping. His eyes are closed. So our Acharyas mentioned why Lord Ranganath's eyes are closed. So Acharyas mentioned the Sri Sampradaya that so many devotees, so many people come to meet, take darshan of Sri Ranganath ji, Lord Ranganath. And he has kept his eyes closed because he knows anyone who has come to, everyone who comes to him, they are not qualified. They have a lot of bad qualities in them. So he wants to close his eyes. He is ready to even accept anyone with all those bad qualities, and he's closed his eyes because he doesn't want to look at any bad quality. He's just happy that that person has come to him. Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam sharanam raja. Ultimately, after so many lifetime, this personality has come to me. Let me forget where he has come from, what different life forms he came from, what different sinful activities he has performed. I am not interested in that. That's what Lord Ranganath is all about. Therefore, he has closed his eyes. Now, let's go to Jagannath. Lord Jagannath has kept his eyes open. So, the devotees mention that Lord Jagannath, his temple is fully flooded with devotees. So many devotees keep coming always. People come, they are devotees, they are about to be devotees, they are mixed devotees, or they are not yet devotees, they are atheistic, agnostics, all come there. So Lord Jagannath is actually glancing upon the whole audience with big eyes. He's looking in the ocean of bad qualities. Kaler doshan idhe rajan astin ek mahan guna. In the bundle ocean of this bad qualities which everyone represents, Lord Jagannath with his big eyes is looking for one good quality. And he finds that one good quality, whatever it may be, he brings in the person into his escort and makes him into Krishna conscious devotee. So this aspect of not looking at bad quality and looking only into a good quality, this aspect is very much taken up by Sri Guru, the spiritual master. The spiritual master's job is to oversee all the bad qualities, look for one spark of fire and fan it and make it big. I'll tell you a nice story which comes in the Shastras about one such guru, of how he fanned the spark of two disciples and actually made them achieve perfection because of that one quality which he found in them. This is a story very, very long back, thousands of years before. There was one sannyasi, one guru. He was traveling. He was traveling from different places. He was about to go to a pilgrimage place. So that time there were no flights. There were no bus. And people would walk to holy place. So they had no opportunity where they would go again and again. Now in today's current scenario, we can anytime. You can even ask devotees, how many times you have gone to Vrindavan, Prabhu, Mataji? How many times you have gone to Jagannath Puri? How many times you have gone to this place, that place? That time, those years, thousands of years ago, with no transport, if you ever went to one holy place, Hare Krishna, you are lucky. You made it to one place at least. So that time they would walk. So this guru was walking every day with a few of his disciples. And in the evening, when they would reach to a village, they would take shelter in some house, spend their night, and in the morning they would again resume their journey back towards the holy place. So one particular day when they were walking, they came in the evening on the outskirts of a village. On the outskirts they found a very simple house, a very small house. So the guru and the disciples decided, let us go and ask for shelter at this house. So they called from outside, is anyone there inside? Can we get shelter in this house for today's night? Two men came out, and they said, they saw the Swami, they saw the disciples, and they were saying, wow, we have such a nice opportunity, a saintly person has come to our house, why not? Please come to our house and consider this house to be yours. the spiritual master, the Swamiji, entered the house. He saw the house was very, very small, but the heart was big of these two people. But he was very intrigued because he saw in this house there were two male, but there was no female. Swami was thinking, what kind of house is this? Generally, a home means a family is there. There is Prabhuji, there is Mataji, and there are children, right? But there is Prabhuji, two Prabhuji, and no Mataji here. So something fishy, he thought, maybe there behind this. Now, Swamiji soon realized that they have entered a house which belonged to two thieves. These two thieves had a house outskirts of the village, and at night time they would go and do stealing. But these thieves were little bit pious, so they were thinking, today Swamiji has come to a house, let us serve him, and by his blessing, maybe we can do nice stealing. So the night time, they gave nice prasadam and all, food and all to the Swamiji, and they told, you can take rest here. So they took rest. The night time, Swamiji, who was very much awake, he had kept his eyes closed, but he saw that the night time, midnight, these two people, they tiptoed and went out of the house. So he got confirmation that these people are not ordinary people. They are into some very bad business. So they went in the midnight and they came early morning around 4:30 back. And Swamiji woke up at that time. And Swami said that you are all staying in this house. I hope you have good business, right? He said, yes, we also work. We also have a good business here. Swamiji, we need your blessings that our business goes good. And Swamiji said, yes, I bless you. Your business will be good. By the way, I saw the night time you are not there in your house. Where you went? The thief said, we went for a business. Our business starts in the night. And by your mercy, we know that we will go ahead and our business will flourish because you have come to our house. Swami asked the two thieves, how was your business yesterday night? The thieves replied, it was not so good. But we are sure by your presence, tomorrow our business will be good, tomorrow night. So the guru, who was supposed to leave the early morning, he decided to stay back. He told his disciples that, I am not feeling so well, let me stay back today. We also stay here. We may continue our journey next day. So again they stayed the whole day, and the thieves took care of the Swami and his disciples. And the next night, and the same night, they again went out for the business of stealing. They came back in the morning, and the Guru asked, how was your business tonight? He said, oh, it was not so good. But tomorrow it will be good. We are determined. Tomorrow by your blessings it will happen good. So the Guru saw that this one small quality of determination was very powerful in them. So he stayed for 1 week in their home. And every time they went out, they came back again. He said the same story that we did not flourish, we did not got our business, but we are sure tomorrow it will happen by your blessings. So the disciples of Guru were a little surprised. They were thinking, why our spiritual master is staying here? The spiritual master told the disciples, do you know where we are staying? We are staying in the house of two thieves. Hey Guru Maharaj, why are you staying here? Let's go. No. I have seen that they have got one good quality. They are determined. And I want to fan that spark. This quality of determination is good in Krishna consciousness. If I engage them in Krishna conscious purpose, the same determination will elevate them and make them into devotees. So then this spiritual master called his two thieves and said, I am seeing you, every day you go out, your business is not going good, and I have come to know what's your business. So I want to guide you. I want to give you a tip. I will tell you an address of one particular place where if you go and if you steal there, you don't have to steal the rest of your life. It will be one time stealing and you get millions of dollars or millions of worth of possessions. Thieves got excited. Guruji, tell us, what is the address? Where we have to go? The spiritual master told, that place, please write it down. So they immediately got a pen, book, whatever they had, write it down. The address is Mathura. Go to district of Mathura. In Mathura, there are many villages. Don't go to any other village. Go to one village, Vrindavan Dham. In Vrindavan Dham, there is a young boy whose mother is very rich. She always decorates her child with precious jewels, ornaments, the best of them. And this boy is always scot-free. He's always moving here and there without any guardian. He's roaming in the forest of Vrindavan. So you go and you steal from that boy. Once you steal from the boy, you don't have to steal again. Thieves got excited. So alone, one boy is wandering and so much of ornaments on his body. What is the name of the boy? So write it down. The name of the boy is Nandanandan. Nandanandan. And immediately now you leave and go for this place and steal that boy. But don't forget the names. Mathura, Vrindavan, Nandanandan. So they were walking, these two guys, thieves. And you're thinking, we should not forget. So they were constantly finding each other. Hey, got to go to Mathura. Don't forget that. Mathura, the next place is in that village of Vrindavan. And what's that boy's name? Nandanandan. But throughout the journey, they were repeating, Mathura, Vrindavan, Nandanandan, Mathura, Vrindavan, Nandanandan. But they were determined. This guru has a lot of good blessings, you know. So this time, it will definitely work. So they reach outskirts of Mathura district. They ask someone, is this Mathura district? Yeah, you're going to enter Mathura district. So they enter Mathura district. And they ask, where is Vrindavan? You still walk straight. You reach Vrindavan forest. So they reached Vrindavan forest and they're searching for that boy. The sadhu had also told them that boy, his color is blue. He's very small. He's wearing a peacock feather. So they remembered all the description. They were meditating, where is that boy? Where is the boy? The forest, they went in that forest. There was no one there. And they're searching frantically for the blue boy with ornaments. His name is Nandanandan. He's alone. No one is guarding him. A day passed. 2-3 days passed. And now they became so tired of searching for this blue boy. They could not get this blue boy. The purpose for which they came for the blue boy was killing. But after getting 2-3 days of tiring job, they forgot what was the purpose. They only were thinking, where is that boy? Where is that boy? So only Shri Nandanandan, blue boy, wearing a peacock feather. That was the only meditation. They forgot about stealing. They wanted first to locate the boy, then stealing will come later. So that intense absorption of Nandanandan was there, guided by the pure instructions of Guru. Finally, after a week or so, Lord appeared, a small boy, Nandanandan. And he called his thieves, are you looking for me? Yes, we are looking for you. But when they saw Krishna, their heart changed. Heart got transformed. So Krishna asked, why are you looking for us? Why are you looking for me? Oh, what can we say? The thief said, they were discussing, should we say the real thing to him? That we came to steal his ornaments? The other said, no, we can't say that. He's a beautiful boy, he'll cry. We don't want to make him cry, we want to make him happy. So what should I tell him? What should we tell him? The thief blurted out, we came here because we saw that your ornaments are very less. We have got so many ornaments with us. We want to put more ornaments on your body. The desire changed completely. And Krishna said, yes, please go ahead. The thieves who had stolen before from some houses, they had some bangles, they had some rings or other ornaments. So immediately got all that booty out and they decorated Krishna further with whatever they had in their hands. So they put all the pendants and this and that. And Krishna said, thank you very much. My mother will be very happy. And I will tell my mother your names and she will be more happy with you. And as soon as Krishna said that, Krishna said, you stay in Vrindavan, I will keep meeting you. And what happened? Krishna stayed there. Krishna disappeared. And they stayed there. Never ever again they met Krishna. But that longing to meet Krishna again kept them in Vrindavan. Their life got transformed. They became devotees. Now Krishna had a bigger plan for them. Krishna was thinking, let them stay in this holy place. Like Narad Muni is saying, Dhruva Maharaj, go on the banks of Yamuna. By staying in a holy place, a person gets purified. So they're getting purified by the braj dust, by dust of Vrindavan, by the holy association of trees of Vrindavan, the river of Vrindavan. Everything of Vrindavan is so amazing. So they got fully purified. In due course of time, they left their body in Vrindavan. But that was not all. It is mentioned by our acharyas. They took another birth. Because Krishna thought
that I give you chance to serve. Serve me by decorating my body. Now, you know, when in temples, in ISKCON temples you go, in the morning they close the altar after Mangalarti and they decorate the deities, right? And after the deity decoration is done, usually the next thing happens is, before the darshan opens, is they offer bhoga in the morning to the deities. So Krishna is nicely decked now. He is beautiful prasadam, bhoga. And after he is well fed, then the darshan is opened and everyone can see Krishna's darshan. So Krishna was thinking that they have decorated me, but they have not fed me. So I should give them one more opportunity. So that opportunity came the next time they took birth. They took birth in the land of Navadvip. This time Lord Krishna came as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very small by Nimai Pandit. And amazingly, these two thieves were again reborn as two thieves in Navadvip Dham. And they were looking for an opportunity to steal in such a way that no other, they don't have to steal again. And they came, guided by Paramatma in the heart, to the house of Jagannath Mishra. And they saw beautiful Nimai Pandit sitting there, no one guiding him, and decked with beautiful ornaments. Both the thieves said, this is a unique opportunity, let's steal him, let's steal the boy. And other thieves said, no, we cannot steal him. If you steal him now, he will cry. Let's buy some beautiful sweetmeat from the market. So they went to the market, they bought sandesh, rasgulla, rasmalai, peda, barfi, whatever you call it. You know. They got all that, and they placed that peda in front of the boy and said, do you want this? Nimai said, yes, I am waiting for a long time for you to come. He said, but you have to ride on us and then we will feed you. So Krishna was thinking, oh, I was expecting them to only feed me, but now they are giving me a ride also. Wow, wonderful. So immediately Nimai Pandit jumped on his shoulder and one of the thief was feeding Nimai. Take this sandesh, but don't cry. Take this rasgulla. And Nimai was very happy eating rasgulla, sandesh. After some time, the other thief said, let me carry this beautiful boy on my shoulder and you feed him. And this way, these two thieves were running away from the home of Jagannath Mishra. They went to marketplaces, but Nimai was so happy and everyone thought that these people are very good. They're carrying our Nimai for a ride. So they went away and away, very far away. And then they thought, now we have come to a hiding place. And they kept Nimai Pandit down, small child Nimai down. As soon as they kept the Nimai down, Nimai ran. And they saw where Nimai is running. Nimai ran into his house. And they're surprised. Hey, we ran away from his house. We walked so many kilometers. How come we are back to the same place? They were so much puzzled. But they were afraid also. As soon as Nimai went into his house, he told Jagannath Mishra and Dachi Mata, father and mother, I want you to meet this beautiful young man who gave me good food and also gave me good ride. So Jagannath Mishra and Dachi Mata were very happy. They came out, but thieves had ran away. But they blessed. Who were these two young men were there, you know? Bless them that they will become very nice Vaishnavas. So now they got blessings of Vaishnavas also. So they mentioned, because they got touch of Nimai in their lives, these two thieves, throughout the rest of their lives, they kept constantly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And their entire life was purified. And after that, they went back home, back to Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. So this was a beautiful story of how Guru saw a small spark of determination, engaged that determination in Krishna consciousness, and that very quality purified those two people and actually arranged for them to go back home, back to Godhead. Got them Krishna's association. So herein, Narad Muni is also fanning that spark of Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva had that spark of conviction, determination. I have to do it. I will do it. So Narad Muni is beginning, fanning that spark by not only giving him instruction, Ashtanga Yoga, which was the process of perfection in the age of Satyuga, meditation, but also told Dhruva that he should go to Vrindavan and he should perform that Ashtanga Yoga on the banks of River Yamuna. So this is called the excellent the amazing ideas and thinking power of Guru, that how he arranges his disciples to progress in Krishna consciousness expertise. So, coming back to the second point in our discussion of going to a holy place, I remember I was reading Nectar of Devotion, and Srila Rupa Goswami mentioned 64 items of devotional service which a devotee should practice, either all of them or some of them, so that he can progress in Krishna consciousness. After describing 64 items, then Rupa Goswami tells, the last 5 items which are described in 64 items, they are the most important of all 64 items. Because the last 5 items, if we practice even one of them sincerely, then we can progress in our Krishna consciousness very rapidly. In fact, he mentions that we can experience a resemblance of ecstasy even if we are a neophyte devotee. And then he again mentions which are the 5 potent forms of devotional service. The first one is reciting or reading or hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. The second one is chanting of the holy names of Krishna, that is Hare Krishna Mahamantra regularly. Third one he mentions is association of devotees or serving of devotees, serving a Vaishnava. Fourth he mentions is deity worship. And fifth he mentions is residing in a holy dham. So this is the 5 potent forms of devotional service. And here we can see Narad Muni has given the 5th one, residing in a holy dham, to Dhruva Maharaj. So Dhruva Maharaj is going to stay for the next 6 months in Vrindavan and practice the order which his guru has given Narad Muni to him. And practicing Ashtanga Yoga is going to get purified by taking everyday bath in Yamuna River, rolling in the dust of Braj is going to get purified very soon. And in record time, in 6 months of time in Satyoga, he is going to meet Krishna face to face. So this is something about residing in a holy place. Now, Srila Prabhupada, he is such an amazing Vaishnava. He saw that the holy places of Krishna, Lord Rama, Krishna's incarnations are limited to this land of India. Today morning I was traveling in train in Mumbai and one devotee was sitting next to me. He asked me, Prabhuji, why do you find holy places only in India? Why not abroad? So, I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj and he was mentioning this very important point that Krishna is Bhavgrahi Janardhan. Krishna is known for reciprocation. He reciprocates. Yathamam prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamiyam. So Krishna wants to reciprocate with those people who are calling him to come. And the call for Krishna usually would come from Bharat Varsha, because all the great Vaishnavas resided in Bharat Varsha, because Bharat Varsha had holy rivers, holy places and holy Vaishnavas. But Srila Prabhupada had his own way of spreading Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada thought, why holy places should be only in India? So when he went to USA, when he landed in Boston and New York, Srila Prabhupada carried Vrindavan with him and installed Vrindavan and all other holy places all over the world. In USA, he formed New Vrindavan, Los Angeles, New Dwarka, New Jagannath Puri in San Francisco, and in so many places, Srila Prabhupada installed holy places. Srila Prabhupada said, not just holy places, Prabhupada said, my temples, ISKCON temples are like Vaikuntha. Amazing. So you go to Krishna temple, you'll feel like you're in spiritual world. You get seva to Krishna, you get darshan of Krishna, you get prasad of Krishna, you get association of devotees of Krishna. Our life becomes Krishnamayi, full of Krishna consciousness. Devotees are longing, waiting to come to temples and take darshan of the deities, sing in front of the deities, dance in front of the deities, take Krishna prasad, associate with devotees. So, in a desert, which is like material world is like a desert, but Krishna temples, the Prabhupada ISKCON temples are like oasis in that desert. Now, coming to the point of Krishna temples, I remember many years back, Nehat Pujari of Sri Mayapur Dham. Janani was to had come to our ISKCON Chopali temple. And one devotee asked a beautiful question. He asked Jananivas Prabhu, Prabhuji, you told about Srila Prabhupada saying that our temples is all Vaikuntha. Prabhuji, I am Brahmachari staying in this temple for a very, very long time. Why don't I feel like that it's Vaikuntha? When he asked that question, many of us felt like that. You know, we are staying in Vaikuntha 24 hours, but we don't feel like Vaikuntha. And many of you may also share the same experience. Janinivas Prabhu gave a brilliant answer. Janinivas Prabhu told, see, Prabhupada said that his temples are Vaikuntha, which means everything in this temple is Vaikuntha. The altar, the deities are Vaikuntha, definitely. The altar is Vaikuntha, definitely. Even the floor is Vaikuntha. The ceiling is Vaikuntha because the floor is used for 100% Krishna service. The ceiling is 100% for his Krishna service. The chandelier is for Krishna service, 100% Vaikuntha conscious. Everything is Vaikuntha conscious in the temple room. Except one thing, which is not Vaikuntha conscious, which is not Vaikuntha. And then he mentions that the only one thing which is not Vaikuntha is our own consciousness. We are coming with material consciousness into the Vaikuntha. So the project each and every devotee has in his life is to change his material consciousness into Vaikuntha consciousness. As long as our material consciousness is there, we will see externals in the temple. We will see that something is falling apart. This is not happening. That is not happening. Devotees are not serving properly. Devotees are fighting and so on and so forth. Prasadam is, dal is very thin. The rice is not cooked. They didn't make today pakoras. All these externals will come because we are coming from the material world. We carry that bad smell of material world in our consciousness and we enter Krishna temple. So he said the project every devotee has is to convert his material consciousness into Krishna consciousness. So staying in a holy place essentially means to make our house into Krishna temple, not just make our house in Krishna temple. If you have opportunity to serve in a Krishna temple nearby, go there regularly and serve there. And learn from the Krishna temple, that place that Prabhupada has made, ideas on how we can make our house into a Krishna temple. So rest of the time in a week, when we are actually engaged in our household duties, we can stay in our own home, which is a Krishna temple, on a weekend, we can go to Krishna temple and get inspired. And more ahead, if we have time and if we get opportunity to visit holy places once in a year, wherever we have time, then we can also go to holy place and charge our batteries. So these are two important points which actually I felt I could discuss with all of you. The first point is how Guru sees a small spark and fans that spark and arouses Krishna consciousness. And second is the importance of a holy place in our life. The holy place can be a pilgrimage place, the holy place can be a ISKCON temple, or the holy place can be our own homes. Thank you very much for patiently listening. I open now for question and answers or anything else, whatever Mataji wants ahead.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam, Alkulay Shishila Prabhupada. First, I would like to thank you so much for such a sweet and nice class. So Prabhuji, I have...
Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, I have one question here. The very first pastime when that Guru was traveling towards Holy Dham and he stayed at his place.
Yeah.
So that was very very nice story. But I was thinking that it's very rare opportunity to get such mercy. And we are in preaching movement and if we want to preach youth, as you are already in preaching, youth preaching things. So when we are preaching youth, so if I say myself, I am like a neophyte devotee. I am not having so much good qualities and all. So if we want to give this mercy of Krishna to others, so how should we do that? Because a power devotee can do by his mercy. But we don't have our mercy. We have Guru's mercy on us. So how we can pass it on to other youth? How we can encourage them to become a devotee, chant Hare Krishna? Because it is very difficult.
Right.
I will take an instance, Mataji. Maybe this answer can be relevant to others also. How to preach when we are not as powerful as some senior devotee in ISKCON or a guru in ISKCON or some other devotees? See, we try our best. We have our own limitations. I'll tell you a nice instance where there is one devotee congregation family who comes often to our temple. And when we have prasad distribution after the class is over, I always remember there's one, this family had one small boy, baby boy, I'm 3-5 years old boy. He was very passionate for serving. Somehow or other, he had heard that we should do some nice serving to Vaishnavas. So he'd always come to the Prasadam level and said, Prabhuji, I want to serve, I want to serve. And we're thinking that this boy, how can he serve? He's so small, his hand cannot even reach the pot from which we are serving Prasadam, you know. And who will hold him? What? So generally, everyone, all the devotees said, very nice, Prabhuji, very nice boy. Come again after you're very old. Don't come now. It's not possible. But one of our kitchen in charge, he was very expert. He said, why can't you serve? He can also serve all of us. So what they did was, he arranged for a Mahaprasad Laddu. And he said to this boy that everyone will take plate, then his devotee will serve rice, that devotee will serve, second devotee will serve dal, and so on. So you stand in the last one corner when everyone is finished. And this laddu is there. This laddu you have to give little portion to everyone and tell them this is Mahaprasad. So what happened is boy became so happy. And he was very confidently serving that little prasad, little laddu, Mahaprasad from the big laddu and every plate. And everyone was graciously receiving it. I don't think so anyone's stomach was full because of laddu. But they were just happy to see small boy doing his part. And the small boy was also feeling that today I served prasadam. And he remembers even today that small boy.
Krishna?
I think so. The call got disconnected. We have to connect him again.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sure, Mataji.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Prabhuji, you are in the conference call now. We can hear you.
Okay, so let me also now continue from where I left off. So that young boy, the small boy, he grew up into a young devotee and he still remembered that service which he did long back of distributing that laddu. So I'm taking this example to prove the point that we have our giant preachers in Krishna consciousness who are preaching and getting so many people in tons and tons, making them devotees. Now, we are not such big preachers like Srila Prabhupada or his disciples or any great Vaishnavas, like so many of them are there. But we can do our part. Everyone has to do his part. Need not be a big preacher giving a big lecture and converting into thousands of devotees. Our small part can be a unique quality which we have. Right? I remember I went to one program recently. That program is happening for last 20 years. Every Thursday that program happened for last 20 years. Never stopped. Devotees actually came in, they graduated, now they are old devotees. They came when they were young in Krishna consciousness, now they are old. And our new generation has come, they are taking the whole services. And since 20 years, that whole program is run by congregation only. There is no support of temple. Even the preacher is a congregation devotee. And they are full prasad. what they do is they have turn by turn devotees cooking prasadam. So they tell five Matajis, okay, you five Matajis, you cook rice. Okay, you cook 1 kilo, you cook 1/2 kilo as per capacity they can have, and you cook this rice. You Matajis, you cook dal, mung dal, you cook. You Matajis, you make sabji. This one sabji, you make potato sabji. And in this way, the prasad comes. I see that program as a vibrant Krishna conscious preaching program, where not just one person is coming and giving class, but the whole community is involved. And everyone feels that they have done something. So preaching is essentially not just speaking. Preaching is essentially connecting a person. You can connect a person by prasad. You can connect a person by giving a book. Or you can connect a person by just by your attitude, your behavior, your smile. Your person walks away from you thinking that this person is good. Yeah, he has become Krishna consciousness because he has appreciated a devotee. So that's my understanding of Krishna consciousness, that preaching is not just for big ones. Preaching is for everyone. Everyone can preach. If you all remember, Srila Prabhupada often remembers that old lady in Raya Damodar temple. When Prabhupada, before he went to West, he remembered that old lady who would great. Would go to Yamuna, bring a kind of a bowl of water for the worship of Radha Damodar deities. And Prabhupada said, whether it was cold or hot or rainy, she would go to Yamuna, get that water, walk in every morning to be that water to be used for Krishna Seva. And Prabhupada said, she was doing a great service. She will go back to Godhead. Now, this lady was doing a simple service, but that service was inspiring a great preacher like Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, he actually valued her contribution. So whatever we are very good in Krishna consciousness, or whatever good skills we have got, we can use in Krishna's service. And that's preaching, right? That's preaching. And anyone can preach in this way. This is my understanding. Some other devotees can have a better answer for this. Any other questions?
Yeah, thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Is there anybody else has any question for Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna Prabhu. It's not a question, it's just a comment, but I just so appreciate your having answered that question in that way, because I feel that, you know, it needs to be more widespread understood that preaching can take on so many different forms. You know, I feel like our community needs to broaden their horizons about what preaching means. So thank you so much for having explained.
Thank you for appreciating this.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, so Prabhuji, one more thing I wanted to clarify, that the instance you told that for a devotee boy, right? And later on you said that by your good behavior we can leave the impression and all. But when a person is not ready to go in the temple, or they are so much anti towards Krishna consciousness, so how we can mold them towards Krishna?
There are many, many ventures we can take into trying to make them devotees. Ultimately, it's a free will. They will become a devotee or not. That's upon them. But I have seen in my practical Krishna consciousness for so many years that we try our best by giving them prasad. That's the most easy weapon. Everyone appreciates that. The biggest brahmastra we can have is prasadam, right? And any person will accept prasadam. So prasadam is one way. Other is music, kirtan. Now, even if that doesn't work,
there is bigger Brahmastra than Prasad. That is our prayers. I have seen so many devotees' house where parents were devotees, but children are somehow they're not responding to Krishna consciousness. Parents are concerned what will happen to a house when they grow up, they get married. This house, we are fully devotees, but then non-devotees will come in our house, and then eventually Krishna consciousness will not be the main principle in this house. They were worried. So then they intensely prayed. I remember, see, we now, Krishna consciousness, we have so many festivals, right? Our whole year is full of festivals. Just now Radhashtami went. And now Dashara is coming. Lord Ram's victory over Ravana. Then Kartik is coming. The whole month is full of festivals. Then after that, in January, we have so many festivals. Nityantra Rishi will come. Gaur Purnima will come. Lord Ramchandra's Ram Nomi will come. Nashing Tatudashi will come. Every month there is a festival. After that, Pani Hadi Chidadai festival will come. Nirjala Ekadashi will come. Rathayatra will come. Ram Jayanti, Julan Yatra, Janmashtami, everything will come. So every time there is a festival, we always make a prayer. Because we know that Krishna or that particular Acharya or that deity is very merciful on that day. Often we always make prayers for our own self. I would say that we should make two prayers. One prayer is we should make for our own self because we also lack in Krishna consciousness. So we should also make a prayer, a planned prayer for one particular devotee or one particular person who is not a devotee, whom we want, wish that they could become devotee. That's called constant prayers for that one person. And I would also say that if we chant little extra rounds for that person, it will help him. I did an example. We have in congregation one Mataji. He's a very good devotee, husband, wife, both devotees. And they are devotees for the last 15 years. So, I met them 15 years back. 15 years back, they told that that time that Prabhuji, our children, they are growing up. They are teenagers, but they are not taking Krishna consciousness seriously. They are into playing and all those other things. So I said, Mataji, what can be done? You know, you try your best. You can pray for them. You can chant for them. She took it very seriously. From that day onwards, I didn't know that. Later I came to know. From that day onwards, every day without fail, she would go to the deities, her own deities or altar she had, and she would make prayer for her two sons. And because she had some time also, so she began to chant extra rounds. She would chant first her 16 rounds, and the next 16 rounds, she would chant for both her sons. 8 rounds each for her sons. You'll be surprised. Her determination was so strong to make her sons devotee. She did this for the next 3 years. Day in and day out, every day. And 3 years later, circumstances happened such a way that they had to leave their old house and they had enough money to buy a new house. So the whole family shifted. So the family shifted, the boys lost their old friends, so then they had no friends in the new place. But the new place had many devotees there, you know. There were programs happening close by. And then that particular evening when the class was going on, I'm not a regular preacher in that particular program, but they invited me. And I'm a youth preacher, more or less. And so I went there, and this lady, she had bought her two sons for the program for the very first time. So I just went and saw the two guys, you know, I became very interested in seeing two young men. I just called, "What are you doing here?" You know, he said, "I have come for the very first time." I said, "Can you come for our program, youth program we're having every week, you know?" And they could not say no to me. They said, "Okay, we'll come." So they came. And in Sohn, they liked that youth program where they found boys of the same age group. And they would come regularly for these programs. And eventually they became devotees. So this Mataji's strong determination of praying and chanting for the children came true. And after a few years, they became Pakka devotees. Today, you know, Krishna conscious movement, both of these boys have now become young men. Both of them are initiated. One of them is going to become Grahastha soon. Another has joined ISKCON Chopati as Brahmachari.
Oh, Haribol.
You can see how, if someone is determined, he makes a prayer, it works. Now, how long in the prayer, that depends on the intensity of the prayer also. It will be 3 years or 30 years, whatever it may be, but at least, I mean, there's no choice. If it doesn't work through the other methodologies which we have in Krishna consciousness, either book distribution or prasadam, then the ultimate weapon is prayer. And we try our best.
Yeah,
That's my position.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice point. Because I was like only aware with the prasadam and all, but the sprayer and extra chants and all, extra rounds and all. So it is like very nice point you have mentioned. Thank you very much. And Prabhuji, one more thing I wanted to ask, if you have little time. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, you have...
I can go for about 5 more minutes now.
Yeah, okay. So could you please mention some key point how we can preach to the youth, the new generation, some of the key points?
Today we were having a youth convention in Mumbai here. We have got around youth preachers from all over India coming for the youth convention. The top point of discussion was how to attract city boys and city girls to the temple, because there are difficult, tough people to bring in today, especially that they call it Generation Z. You know, they are into digital technology. They are always into the iPhones, into the phones, playing games with apps. They don't have time with people. They are more into technology. So we were discussing on this point that if you want to attract, you have to attract people through some things which they are actually good at, or which they want in their life. I found one thing in our temple. We have Gaur Gopal Prabhu. I found why Gaur Gopal Prabhu is successful among youth. I found that I know Gaur Gopal Prabhu since many years. He's a wonderful Vaishnava. He is very good in chanting. His sadhana is excellent. Every day without fail, when he chants all his rounds and then he begins his day's work. I found when he, initial days of his Krishna consciousness, he would preach directly from Shastra, quote Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. You can hear his Bhagavatam classes 15-20 years back. Up recently, he changed his style of preaching, because he saw that if you want to catch this new generation, we have to present our Krishna consciousness in a way that they will accept it. And therefore, he puts a lot of humor, a lot of lessons, and through that, he attracts young people. And once they get attracted, then they come to temple, then you give them full blast of Krishna consciousness, no problem. But if you want to attract them, you have to go actually into their shoes, actually put our feet in their shoes, see what they like in, and present Krishna consciousness in that way. So it's an art, it's a great art, it's not an easy art for anyone to learn. But I would say that's what we are doing. Many places where I am preaching, and I see that many young people I cannot attract. So I keep a program which is a mixed program of kirtan and this prasad distribution. I do a very small talk and then I play a lecture of Gaur Gopal Prabhu. I play a lecture of some other devotee who are very expert in speaking, and everyone appreciates their speech. Like that. So I change little formality for format of my program. It's working good. I have festivals. Festivals are something which everyone likes, regular festivals. So every program I have in my own place where I preach, we have regular festivals. We have festival of laddus, where we have 50, 60 different types of laddus we offer to Lord Jagannath, and laddus we give to the people who come for the program. Next month we have festival of juices, different types of juices we make. And next time we have festival of fruits, different types of fruits we offer. Next time we have the festival of mangoes. In India, we have May and June, mango season. So we have festival of mangoes. We have unlimited mangoes with youth devotees and people who come for Krishna consciousness programs. Then we have festival of different festivals like that. I don't remember all the festivals. 12 months, we have 12 festivals. Srila Prabhupada has given us such amazing facility to propagate Krishna consciousness through our intelligence. So this is a kirtan festival, food festival, like that, and plus lectures which they can appreciate more. So some clues. I cannot claim that I am one of the best preachers. I'm struggling with my own preaching, but whatever I experience, I've seen it's working. So I'm just sharing with all of you. If it doesn't work with you, no problem. It's okay. I don't even know who I'm addressing today. It's a conference call. It's an impersonal call. But I do not even know who devotees are there on the call. I'm sharing my heart. If I somewhere I went wrong, please forgive me, because I do not know the audience.
Thank you so much for very, very nice points you mentioned. Prabhuji, 1 more minute, please. 1 more minute.
Okay, 1 minute only.
Thank you so much. So, Prabhuji, it happens that lots of people have interest of going temple, and we have like limited, ways of sending them to like limited vehicles to send them to temple. So, is it fine that if we sometimes stay back home and we can send them in our place to temple?
It's a very good question, but I do not even know what it means, because I have never visited the place where you are staying. So I am not sure what you are saying about it. Maybe a little more description of staying home and allowing others to go.
Temple from my home is like 30 minute drive. And Martyr Station to there, it is like very difficult to reach through Martyr Station. And there are some people who wants to go to temple, but we have only 5-seaters, so we can allow it, and we are three of us in our family. So we can take only two of them. So sometimes I feel like I should stay back at home with my son, and I should send them. So is it fine? Is it okay? Or is it right?
It's okay. I feel if you can work out that, that's okay. I do not know how much it's possible that Prabhuji can drive, come and again drive them. I don't know. I'm just checking out. It's very difficult. 30 minutes, not much, right?
Just go there early. I can skip that day and I can send them, because it would be difficult for Prabhuji to go back and forth.
Okay. Whatever works, Mataji, is okay. Maybe one Sunday you can go, one Sunday they go, one Sunday you go, one Sunday they go. And if your temple is having a live program, it's telecasted live, you can hear at home. And the next time when they stay at home, they can hear at home their program, same program. Something like that.
Okay. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you.
Thank you
for very, very
Thanks.
Wonderful association. Hare Krishna.
Thank you all of you for your wonderful time and association and patience.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I really appreciate your class, very, very beautiful class, and that gives us a lot of hope about our kids. We have to pray for them. Prabhuji, in the story of like two thieves, you said at the beginning, one good thing they had the determination, very strong determination. So Prabhuji, I see myself and my kids, all of them, the lack of determination. So how to get that?
I would say that don't look for determination in them when they are lacking it. Look for that quality which they have it. Every human being is given by God some good quality. So we should not look for those qualities which are standard mentioned in the scriptures, in the books, determination, patience, humility, no. We should look for, actually everyone has a good quality. Look for that good quality. It takes extra time. It's not easy. In Kali Yuga, we are always very, very much geared, or we are trained, our minds are so constituted that we always look bad in others. Very random is good in others. So it will take actually a very, very healthy exercise to actually look for good, something good your child is having. You look for that, you see what is interested in, note all those points, and maybe you can visit some devotees, senior devotees, and you can mention that how my child is good in this, good in this. Is any way I can connect these points to Krishna consciousness? And I would say that there will be unlimited opportunities to do that. Yes, it will work. I feel so. You can try that. You can consult some senior devotees around you whom you can approach or whom you can meet on call, and you can see that whatever qualities or good things which your child has, you can share with them, and they can give some ideas about how that can be dovetailed in Krishna consciousness. But you have to have patience, Mataji. It is not a one-day job. I told you 3 years for that Mataji, and she was really intense. 16 rounds plus 16 rounds. Not an easy thing. Even for brahmachari like me, 32 rounds every day. You tell me, I'll say, no, tomorrow. We'll start tomorrow. And every day, tomorrow will never come then. So it's an intense thing. It all depends on intensity also. So personally, I would say that my spiritual master and devotees around me have given me enough time to grow in Krishna consciousness, and they're still waiting that I grow more. So we have to also give time for others to go in Krishna consciousness, since like we are taking our own time in Krishna consciousness to grow. So patience, and we should determine that they can become devotees. Hum honge kamyab ek din, that's the Hindi saying, and a lot of prayers. That's
the only thing which we can, I can see like that. Hope I could answer your question.
Yes, Prabhuji, very true. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We liked your class very much. Please give your association more often to us, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We have this Bhagavatam class every day. And this is...
Every day?
Yes, and this conference is going from last 10 years almost.
10 years?
Yeah, and every day...
I am very fortunate that I got chance to be in this conference and speak. I hope you are happy with whatever service I performed today.
We are so happy, Prabhuji, and we look forward for your association more often. Thank you.
How many devotees are there in conference today, Mataji?
There are 32 devotees logged in.
Wow, very good. Wonderful. Thank you, all of you. All 32 devotees, ki jai.
Thank you. Prabhu.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Your obeisances to all the Vaishnavas.
Kalpatru Vaishnavas.